98 FM's Dublin Talks. Live. Weekday mornings from 10 with Adrian Kennedy.
Never miss a podcast. Just hit subscribe.
Now, next on the programme, there's been a lot of talk in the last few days, and I've no doubt it's going to be the topic of conversation for the next few months, and that is the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine or vaccines, and who should get priority. Now, obviously, everyone, and I haven't heard one person objecting to this, everyone agrees that the nursing home residents, nursing home staff, frontline healthcare workers all deserve to be given this vaccine before anybody else. Nobody is arguing that point, I don't think. But after that, people differ in their views. A petition has been set up by early childcare workers, already has hundreds of signatures. They've started the petition to move the childcare sector from 11th on the list of priorities up to the same level as frontline staff for the vaccine. They say they are open and operating as normal with no protection. Now, if you're a creche worker, we want to hear from you. Do you feel safe in your place of work? Do you believe that when it comes to the vaccine rollout, it should be sooner rather than later that you get the injection or injections? Here's what the petition says. It is simply not acceptable at the height of a global pandemic, early years providers are being asked to work with no support, no protection, and no clear evidence that is safe for them to do so. And I want to find out, do you agree with their request to be bumped up the queue for the vaccine? Can you understand their concerns? Because they do have concerns. They're right. Let's find out a little bit more about this petition and what the issue is here. And I'm joined on the line by Amanda Brennan-Spiteri. Amanda, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What's the problem here, Amanda?
Oh, it's a mixed bag, to be honest. And I just want to, as you said yourself, we're not looking to bypass the most critically vulnerable in society.
No, and nobody is. Yeah,
exactly. What we want, we are the essential workers for the essential workers. We are at the very bottom. We're number 11. We're at the bottom of the list. We just are asking to be moved up to six. With the rest of the frontliners. And the rest of the world is at arm's length of each other. We can't do that in our profession. We are the people who are wiping the noses, cleaning the germs, hugging the children, looking after everybody. But we have no protection. And it's scary. My team come in, they don't know on Monday when they walk in who's in their bubble, where they've been on the weekend, who they've been socializing with. The other side of the scenario is a lot of children don't show symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have children turning up to the service. And there's a lot of statistics based on how children don't seem to get COVID-19 and they're not affected. But that should be turned on its head. It should be the early years providers, the early years educators, who then, in effect, are being put at risk because we will get COVID-19, and we're going home to our family. Who looks after our families when we're sick? So we're just asking for that assurance and that protection that if we are on the front line, then we're treated like we're part of the front line. We do need to be.
So tell me what your situation is at this very minute. You have how many children in your care?
So we have numerous locations. So I'll just pinpoint one, for example. We have one location and we put them into pods and bubbles in each room and we put two members of staff in each room. We try to keep them to as low as possible, but then we have the other side of juggling, trying not to bring too many people in, too many staff, too many team members on site as well. So we're doing about 5 to 6 kids per room. Where this one location I'm talking about, there's a lot of healthcare workers living in that area. So we would be busier than most. So with our situation, they book in week by week with their roster. But our team's fear is, and we love what we do, everyone in the childcare sector, child minders, early educators, childcare professionals, we don't do it for the finance because mm-hmm. we are low paid sector. We really are. Everybody in the sector is low paid. We do it for the love. So when they come in on the Monday morning, we meet, they have their bubbles, their pods ready. But realistically, we don't know if someone's been out playing on the street with Jane and Thomas, and Jane and Thomas's family have been social or have been socializing with someone else who is now a positive case. All we have is hand washing and masks, and we can't always wear masks as well. You know, it's part of our profession. So we are really not protected. We don't.
And let me ask you, have you had any incidents of the virus in your workplace in terms of, is that why you're so fearful, or is it that you're afraid it may come in?
It's a mix of both. So we haven't had anyone positive directly in our facilities, thankfully, but that's only because of how quickly we've acted. So we collect from primary schools. And when the primary schools opened, I obviously won't say which ones, but we had, out of 11, four of those had group cases. So they did, thankfully, the primary schools themselves were notified and the children were moved to an isolation room and the parents collected. But there was one incident where we were stopped just in time of collecting a child who had just found out that they were a close contact and someone in their family had it.
Mm.
And the person who was actually going to collect that child, both their parents are high risk. So we really do, we are scared. The sector is scared. We want to do what's right, but we
okay, so I'm looking at the list of priorities, the vaccine allocation groups, and at the moment people, number one on the list is people aged 65 and older who are residents of long-term care facilities and the staff and residents on site. So they are currently being vaccinated. We know that it is being rolled out to all nursing homes and so on. Frontline healthcare workers have also been vaccinated or are being vaccinated. And then it goes to people aged 70 and older. And the list goes on and on and on. And you're down to number 11 on the priority list before people working in the education sector are vaccinated, and that's where you've been included.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a website that's out that you can go in and calculate when you're due. I know there's more than one vaccine coming online, but for that particular vaccine. And I'm not due, and I'm 43. I'm a mum of an 11-year-old. Both my only two family members who live near me are high risk. And I'm not due the vaccine till the end of August. So there's a high probability at some point I will get COVID-19. And who will look after my 11-year-old daughter?
So, as I said, people in the education sector are number 11 on the list. If it makes you feel any better, Amanda, when I did that that website and working out when you'd get the vaccine, I won't get it till 2022 by the looks of things, but anyhow.
Well, if I could social distance, to be honest, the problem with it is our line of work. We're realistic people. If we could social distance, if we could do all the things that other sectors are doing, I really don't think there would be an issue. The issue is we are so open and vulnerable, and we're only looking to go from 11 to 6. We're not looking to be, you know, the first three, the first five, six.
Okay, so again, just to, if you were moved up to number 6 on the list, that includes key workers, but that jumps over people aged 18 to 64 with certain medical conditions that makes them more vulnerable. It jumps over residents of long-term care facilities aged 18 to 64. People aged 18 to 64 working in crowded work settings. Mm-hmm. That would jump you ahead of all of those. But you think that the service that you provide is so vital that you need to be protected.
We do. Like the list that you've read out there, the majority of those people are doing what they're meant to do and following the guidelines, staying at home, reducing who comes into their home, you know, protecting themselves. We, with that eliminated, we don't have that option. And that's why we want to move up, because that option isn't there for us to protect ourselves.
Because you have to be at work and you have to interact with children and you are putting yourself at risk every day.
Exactly. Ourselves and our family members. Like, there's a lot of childcare workers out there or early educators who have family at home who are equally at high risk, who will be in one of those categories that you read out. So every day that we go to work without any type of protection, because we really don't have the protection that other sectors have, we are putting our family members at risk.
Okay, do me a favour, Amanda, and stay on the line there for 1 second. I'd love to hear from you on this on 6797981. You can text, you can WhatsApp, you can send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. We're asking whether or not you would support childcare workers being bumped up the priority list for the COVID-19 vaccine. As we said, at the minute, it is being rolled out in nursing homes to frontline healthcare staff who are in direct contact with patients. And I don't think anybody has an issue with that. Nobody does. And that will be done over the next couple of weeks. And then the priority list will be worked through. At this moment, childcare workers are number 11 on the list, as are all teachers. And they think they are providing such an important service that they should be bumped up the list a little bit. I'd love to hear from you. 6797981 is our telephone number. We'll take a break. We're back with more of your calls in just a moment. Childcare workers have set up a petition urging them to be moved up the vaccine priority list. Now, we all know that they provide a very important service. By them providing their service enables essential healthcare workers, for example, to attend work and provide the service that we so desperately need. So without childcare workers providing that service, many of our healthcare workers can't work because they've nobody to mind their children. It's, you know, in a lot of ways seems to make a bit of sense to bump them up the list. Amanda, what do you say to, like, a few messages that are coming in, you know, saying things like, what about shop workers? They're dealing with randomers every day and don't know if they're coming in contact with the virus. That once we start having this conversation of bumping people up the list, where does it end?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree. Shop workers, I see them as frontline as well. So I agree that they should equally be at number 6. Anyone who is open and operating should be at number 6. Any of the industries that must stay open. So shop workers must stay open. Hmm. Pharmacies must stay open. Childcare must stay open because the shop workers can't go to work without us. The pharmacists can't open the chemist without us. Hmm. So we help society function. So we should definitely be at number 6 for that reason. But I would never deprive anyone who is in a similar situation the same protection that we are asking for. I have many, many shop workers from different supermarkets who use our service and are now using our service for much longer hours because they're going in. We're in the same situation as them. So when they go to work, if they get in if they're unfortunately in contact with someone who's doing their shopping, who's disobeying the rules, they get COVID-19. They come, they collect their children. We're close to them. We're discussing a handover of child. Then it passes on to us. So we're, in effect, the adult of the scenario are the spreaders. So we should be the ones that get protected as well as the shop care assistants because shop care workers are intertwined with every sector. We're the ones mixing with everybody.
Okay, so you believe that, and do you think, well actually I have a teacher on the line here, I'd love to hear from you on 6797981, you can send a WhatsApp voice note to 0877 98 98 98. Would you support childcare workers being bumped up the list a bit in terms of priority for COVID-19 vaccines because of the essential service that they are providing and enabling other people to do their essential jobs? Or maybe you think there are other frontline workers that deserve to be bumped up the list even quicker. Now, Mandy, you are a primary school teacher.
Yep.
And you believe that childcare workers should be even higher on the list than teachers.
Absolutely, because they are working with younger kids who don't have the concept of social distance and they don't have the concept of respiratory etiquette or, you know, personal hygiene. You have to wash their hands. There's a lot of intimate care involved with working with the younger kids, and there's a lot more close contact with them. that we would have in the average primary school classroom. Now, don't get me wrong, we're overcrowded. You know, we can't space out the way we would like, but our kids are that little bit older and they sort of understand what you're asking them from, whereas the really younger ones don't. So that will put your average early years worker in closer proximity to people who could be spreading it, you know?
Okay, so you do see them, and in fact, as things stand at this minute, as a teacher, you're not in work where childcare workers are still in work and are so essential to keeping people at work, basically.
Well, I am actually in work right now.
Oh, you are?
I'm preparing resources for my class because can't just throw them to the wolves.
But
that's what we're all doing.
Yeah, but you're not with your class, is what I mean.
No, that's what I meant.
So. That's what I meant. Yes, no, I know you're still working, but you're not working in a class with 30 students in front of you.
No.
Where Amanda...
And if you close down the childcare sector the way the schools have been, nothing can work.
No, absolutely.
Schools can't come back without the childcare sector.
Yes, so it is a catch-22. And I think, Amanda, that's... part of what you're getting at here, that it's a chicken and egg situation, and you're an essential cog in this wheel.
Yes, definitely. We are the essential workers for the essential workers.
Yes, yes.
But there's no policy to protect the essential workers of the essential workers. To me, it's mind-boggling, and to my team. And it's very hard for the providers as well who run these operations to, when we're scheduling our staff members, when we're looking at the pods. Realistically, our teams are looking at us for protection. So it's only right that we now stand up and speak for our teams and say they need protection. We are working the front line, and we need to be acknowledged as working the front line. And as that lovely teacher has said there, without us, nobody can go to work.
Yep.
So we're just asking for, we're only asking to move to 6th. We're not asking to bypass anyone vulnerable in society. We're just asking for what's fair.
And again, you know, when we look at the list, to bump you up to number 6 on the list doesn't get rid of or push vulnerable people down the list. No. Because by that stage, by the time we get to number 6 on the list, which we would hope to be maybe in March, all of the vulnerable in society will have been vaccinated at that point.
Yes, exactly. And there are a lot of... as well, when we go home, we have family members who are vulnerable. So that's a big thing as well, you know. I have a few of my team members who are so, so worried for all different reasons, but mainly because of what they could be bringing home. A lot of children don't show symptoms, and they don't. And every time they hug a child or they hold someone's hand or they wash their hands with them, because we have to go and wash everyone's hands, we are taking that risk. And the guilt, I know, for some of them, and the worry, they're not sleeping at night, some of them, because they think, what if I'm going to give this to my dad?
Yep.
He's my only, you know. So, and at the same time, they're going, but I personally know such and such who is a healthcare worker, and I know she needs me to mind her children. So it's a terrible situation to be in, and it's very, very difficult. So to be put all the way down at the end of the list, it's really a slap in the face to the childcare sector altogether. It's almost dismissing us.
Okay, let's have a listen to this WhatsApp voice note that's just been sent in to me by Paula.
Sorry I can't come on, but just saying, like, cleaners, you never ever hear it being mentioned. It's always frontline workers. Brilliant. Well done. Fair play to them. Have a family member that does it. 2 family members. But, like, what about me that goes to work to keep touch points clean for the likes of the people that are going in and out of these places? I have to stand here and go up after every person that's after being at a hatch and just wipe it behind them. So is that keeping the place clean? Am I keeping people's lives at risk? I'm keeping their lives safe. Thank you.
Okay, and Paula, or sorry, Amanda, obviously this is the conversation that this creates, you know, who is important. Like, for example, I got a message in a second ago, I'm a mechanic, I'm fixing people's cars, getting them sorted for the NCT. Should I be bumped up the list?
No, once again, it's the social distancing. We can't social distance. We are mixing with everyone from just different societies. And it's no disrespect to any other sector. It really isn't. But at the end of the day, we are close proximity to the people we're looking after, the children we're looking after. We are leaving ourselves more open than other sectors. And even for the lady who cleans everywhere and makes sure that everywhere's safe, I agree. I think cleaners are being undervalued as well. I think she should be up on that list. The mechanic sector, you can wear gloves, you can wear a mask, you can disinfect, you can stand 2 meters distance. I would hate to deny anyone moving up the list, but I would see that slightly differently.
So okay, let's have a listen to this from Dave.
Hi, Adrian. Dave here. If people want to jump the queue, why don't they just charge them a fee to do it? At least that way they'll make back some of their money they've been handing out to people that can't work. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Yeah, there's no suggestion that it will be possible to get a vaccine privately. In fact, the government have specifically said it will not be available privately in order to stop people with money bumping themselves up the list. It's a very interesting conversation. What sort of reaction have you gotten from government sources to your petition to bump you up the list, Amanda?
So we wrote to the Minister of Children and the Minister of Health. We now only recently wrote to them, so obviously we want to give them a chance to reply. We have heard nothing as of yet from the Minister of Children.
Okay, do me a favour, Amanda, and stay on the line there for 1 second. I want to just take a couple more calls after the break. We're in the middle of a conversation about creche workers and a call and, in fact, an online petition being set up for healthcare or childcare workers to be bumped up the priority list for the COVID-19 vaccine because of the essential service they provide to the people providing the essential service of healthcare, for example. And they feel, obviously, as one message just came in, are people not listening? We can't social distance. We have babies and toddlers sitting on our laps, crying, sneezing, coughing, all in a small area. We need to be protected. And Amanda, sorry, the petition itself, where is it available?
Well, it's online and it's on... I'll actually, what I'm do, if it's possible, is ask you guys to share the link on your Facebook page, if that would be something you could do.
That's no problem at all. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, just if I give you the full details, it might be missed. And if anyone who is a family member of a childcare worker or anyone in the childcare sector or anyone in the education sector or anyone who uses this service, if you agree and you could sign this petition, we'd really be grateful.
Okay, all right. We will put up the link to the petition on our Facebook page as soon as the programme is over. Let's have a listen to a couple more WhatsApps before we wrap this up. This is Derek.
Morning, Adrian. How are you going? Of course, creche workers should get the vaccine. They're just doing the same work like nurses are, as in looking after people. Now, they're smaller people. They're more bigger spreaders of the disease as well, without knowing that they have it. They're working with people that are coming in from different families. There's a range of families. You could have 6 children in a bubble, so that means that they are in contact with 6 children, of whom come from 6 different families, of whom parents are working in 6 different places, working with people in them places. It's just, they have to be vaccinated. Of course they do. They're running a service, they're frontline workers, and they should get it.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. I'm a nurse and a midwife, says this message, and yes, I think creche workers should be vaccinated soon, especially when pressure is on to keep them open. They do need to be hands-on, says that message. Actually, a lot of support, Amanda, I have to say, coming in for your campaign to be bumped up the list. Let's have a listen to this from Daniel.
Something that the lady's not taking into consideration is that this is all a logistical kind of scheme, if you want to call it that. The reason everyone is in a tiered situation is because there isn't enough vaccines. If there was enough vaccines, I'm sure everyone would get it on week one. That's the reason. So the government had to, you know, decide, right, who's the most important and who needs to get it ASAP. Like that, if you start opening the can of worms of, oh, well, we need it because, you know, we're in connection with children, we're in connection, same with shop staff. But then if you add up all the creche workers and the teachers and the shop staff and everybody else, and then lob them into level, into stage six with everyone else that's already in there, sure, there's not enough of the vaccine to cover all of them. So, unfortunately, you're just going to have to wait your turn, like everybody else.
What do you say to that, Amanda?
I think there's a lot missing from that comment. So we are looking to be six. The vaccine is being produced on a constant basis. We can't social distance. So we're different to a lot of sectors. So that's why they have a list. We're moving up the list because of the priority that we are. That's nothing to do with the count. That means that they need to revise their list. They need to go back and look at their list and prioritise sectors who are in immediate danger or high risk. Yeah.
Well, let me read this message to you. Not a thought for the essential workers whose workload has ballooned over the last few months and they're the lowest paid in society. Yet every day I hear on the radio another group of people whinging that they need to be looked after while sitting at home collecting a paycheck. But when it comes to paying for all of this, then we are all in this together. We are not all in this together. Some people are paying a higher cost. And basically what that person's referring to is shop workers, for example, whose work has ballooned over the last year.
Yeah, no, that's correct. Childcare workers aren't sitting at home. We're open from 7 to 7. We're in there, and before anyone arrives, we're doing extra cleaning. We're cleaning in the evenings. We're doing our paperwork, by the way, has increased tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you an example of what's become common practice, and it's very frustrating. On a Friday evening, generally after about 7, we are receiving, the childcare providers, the owners, the operators are receiving an email from the Department of Children, Department of Education, saying, here are FAQs. We have highlighted more updates and changes to be implemented. And you're reading over the weekend, 60 to 80 to 90 pages long, finding the changes, seeing how you can implement them. And some of those changes are great on paper, but in reality on the ground, they don't work. So we're trying to work around it. So actually our workload has increased immensely in the background, in the administration side and on site, in making sure that everything is clean, making sure that we're ticking our COVID checklists, we're doing our risk assessments. There's so much more to it, making sure the pods are equal, that there isn't someone who is a lot older with a younger group who wouldn't mix, who would have a bad day.
So likewise, your workload has increased fairly substantially. Let's just play one more message from Tommy.
Hi, Adrian. What about the couriers that keep the country going? Should we be bumped up as well?
Yeah, you can socially distance when you're dropping off packages, in fairness, Tommy. All right, Amanda, we will put up the link for your petition on our Facebook page as soon as the programme is over, and anybody who wants to sign it can fire ahead and sign it, okay? So we'll put that up just after midday today. Amanda, I wish you well, and thanks very much indeed, and thanks for doing what you do and providing the essential service that you are continuing to provide to enable all of our doctors and our nurses and our frontline workers to go to work, which is a very important job. Amanda, thanks very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
No problem at all. That's Amanda Brennan-Spiteri. And as I said, we will put the link up for that petition on our Facebook page a little bit later on.
98 FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.